This is Nigeria, and I'm speaking with Bishop George Davis. He's an influential leader and pastor of Impact Church in Jacksonville, Florida. Has released his new CD, Captured by Love, which I heard was a lifetime dream of yours. You want to share about that?
Yeah, well, I've grew up in the city of Detroit, Michigan, and as a kid growing up in Detroit, grew up doing a lot of things, but one of them was singing and singing group in high school, and we shared the stage with some of Detroit's best, Winans Commission, Clark Sisters, etc., and I just always had a passion for singing. Once I started the ministry and became a senior pastor especially, I just kind of stopped singing. Wouldn't sing as much, would just sing every now and then, and had always talked about doing a music project, and really just decided, actually about 5 years ago, really sensed it strongly on my heart to put out a music project, and just when my schedule was busy and kind of dragged my feet and didn't take the time to really commit to it, and finally last year just decided I was going to commit to it and record the songs that I did have and let the rest of them come once I got going. And a long story short is that from July 1st, I think we started recording, till October, we got it all done and recorded a project. And my real goal was just to get it out of my heart and get it recorded, but it turned out pretty well and is getting pretty good traction right now.
I'm super excited to have you on the show too. But let me ask you, how did you begin singing? When was that birth?
Well, yeah, as I said, you know, growing up in Detroit, I started singing there. You know, I started singing in the Baptist church. And then from there, went to high school in Detroit that had a gospel choir. And so I sang in the gospel choir. And about six guys from the gospel choir formed a little singing group and sang different places around town in Detroit and a few places outside of Detroit. And that was kind of the beginnings of it. You know, just growing up singing with my mother and father both sang, and so just kind of grew up in a house with people, and just became something that, you know, just was a passion of mine as well. And you know, in ministry, I stopped singing as much as I used to, but just endeavored to get up again and exercise the gift as best I can.
All right, so then when did you become a leader in ministry?
I went to Bible school in 1990. Okay. 1991, graduated in 1993, and I came on staff full-time at a large church in Detroit, Michigan, Word Faith Christian Center there in Detroit area, and was an assistant pastor there at the age of 23. 3 years later, we launched out and left Detroit to come to Jacksonville and to start a church in Jacksonville, Florida. We had about 12 adults that packed up and came with us, started a church here in Jacksonville, Florida in 1996.
All right, so now you was a pastor at 23. Was that a call? Are you a preacher's kid? Did you just decide, or explain that for me?
Definitely a call.
Okay.
You know, I was a mechanical engineering student actually at Michigan State University, and just sensed the Lord telling me that there was something different He had for me. And
amen.
Left Michigan State and went home back home to Detroit to the Bible school at our church there. And graduated with every intention of going right back to Michigan State and finishing up my degree there. Mm-hmm. But once I graduated from Bible school, I was hired full-time as assistant pastor there at a church. Our church at that time was probably a 10,000-member church in Detroit. And I was an assistant pastor at 23, and then I became a senior pastor at 26 when we started the church in Jacksonville, Florida.
Okay. Now, Christian music has definitely arrived in all genres and has reached the masses on Billboard charts, hip-hop, jazz. How do you feel about that?
I love it. You know, God is the author of music. You know, you have some people who they don't think it's right for Christians to be singing hip-hop or jazz, or I believe the exact opposite. You know, Satan is not a creator. He's a perverter.
Ooh, Bishop. Say it.
Anything worth having, God is the one who created it, and so much of what is good, we as Christians have surrendered it and allowed Satan and the world to just enjoy it, and we just sit back and kind of get pushed into our little corner and say, this is all that we can enjoy. So I thank God for people like Lecrae and others out here on the Christian hip-hop circuit and Christian jazz artists, because I'm a lover of music.
Right.
I do believe in us as Christians The Bible says all things are lawful, but all things are not expedient. There's a whole lot of things you can do that won't send you to hell, but it's not beneficial for you spiritually.
Right.
So I believe that we do have to be very cautious what we allow ourselves to hear, what we put into our ear gates, to listen to, what we allow ourselves to see, because it'll get into your heart and it'll affect your heart. But there's a lot of good music out there. There's a lot
That's
of good
right.
people who are living for Christ. You know, everybody singing, everybody rapping is not living a sinful life. There's a lot of people living for Christ, committed their lives so hardly to Christ, and they just happen to like all types of music.
That's
they're
right.
Christians that sing country music. They're Christians that sing rock music. And I believe when we get to heaven, there's a lot of people that are going to be shocked because they're thinking that there's only one style of music there. I think you're going to find all genres of music there in heaven because God is the creator of all good things.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And Captured by Love is available on iTunes and Amazon. With your busy schedule, unlike to be considered a devoted artist and this is all you do, how do you promote? You're here with me, but are you planning any tours? And, you know, how are you going to promote the CD?
Yeah, I've done a few radio interviews, did a listening session on a couple stations that are given airplay. And we're actually just now... really just now releasing the album. We did a kind of a pre-release back in December. That was to get it out in time for people that wanted to be able to get it for Christmas gifts.
Right, right.
We have a pretty large following that I know wanted it for that purpose. But we're just now really releasing the album, and actually next week releasing the first single off of the album, which is the first song on there, Morning Time.
Okay.
And we're releasing that one nationally, and I expect it to hit radio airwaves and get some pretty good airtime. I think it's a great song, in my opinion. It's a fun song, upbeat song,
right.
Very encouraging song for the person that has been going through a tough time or just have had some tough days to realize that, you know, God is with you. And
that's right.
Joy comes in the morning, and you got to have that mindset that I'm in the morning. So
yes,
I'm
sir.
Expecting better things to show up. So, from the national release of the single Morning Time, we're anticipating there'll be some additional radio interviews and. I do travel, quite a bit, not a whole lot, but I travel quite a bit at different speaking engagements. So when I'm on the West Coast in Phoenix or this upcoming weekend, I'll be up the East Coast in Philadelphia.
Okay.
Whenever I'm traveling, we also are able to promote the album and CD, during those times. So,
oh, excellent.
I'm not really planning to go on tour or doing anything like that. My goal is not to be a voted recording artist, obviously. But
okay.
In those venues and arenas that I'm going into anyway for ministry, I'll get a double use out of it and minister the Word of God and also have a chance to sing some songs too.
Wow, that sounds great. I always wondered about that. Hats off to Bishop Jakes. To me, it's like we need more bishops and pastors. My venue here is to let pastors and bishops know that, listen, I know we can be something else besides standing behind the pulpit. We could own businesses and schools and do a whole lot of things. And I think you hit on something when you said we kind of get down on ourselves, or people get down on Christians when we try to expand. So we do a hip-hop record and it's, oh my God, they're trying to be like the world. But I like your response that God created all things. And so we have to start to embrace each other and support each other. And then that way, when you drop a CD, it could be, oh, Bishop George David just dropped the CD and everyone already knows and we know your quality and we can buy it just like we did with a Luther, Stephanie Mills or something,
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, for the body of Christ, we've got to realize that the only place, that the church is not the only place that people get influenced.
That's right.
And the reality is actually the church is probably one of the places that people get influenced the least. Mm-hmm. In church for a couple hours a week, most people one time a week,
right.
Whereas people watching television 7 days a week, they're in the workplace 7 days a week. And I'm a strong believer that as Christians, we need to be involved on the seven mounds of cultural influence in our family life, in government, in media, entertainment, across all those spectrums, education. And I think that the more we get involved in those other areas of influence, then that's where we really go and have a chance to touch people's lives and show them the love of Jesus Christ. Can't expect what to all happen at church. And unfortunately, so many church people, or religious folks, I should say,
right,
like to back Christians into a corner and tell you that the only place your ministry can be done is at church, and that's the exact opposite. The church ought to be where we come. The church is like boot camp or the roll call in the morning for the police, police department. You come in, get your instructions, find out what's going on in the world, and go out to your beat and go do what,
all right, now.
What you're called to do, as opposed to looking at church as the place that solves it all for the world. No, church is where we come in, we get trained, and then we go out to do ministry, and all of us have a ministry in different arenas. Yours happens to be in the entertainment.
Yes.
Notification, let people know what's going on.
That's
and,
right.
And bringing awareness to the body of Christ in the world, that's a ministry.
That's
we need
right.
that. Without that ministry, there's a hole in the body of Christ. And I think the more we learn to appreciate that we're not all the same, but we're all valuable, and that it allows everybody to, like Paul said, I magnify my office.
Right.
I can't do what you do, and it's doubtful that you're called to do what I do, but you put us together, and you got a dynamic team of Christians in the body of Christ that have to learn to love, appreciate, and respect one another.
I love that. That was good. You made me smile. I feel special. Yes, but this is a call for me, actually, as well. I've been in entertainment over 30 years, and as God shaped and molded me, and I've always told the truth, so it's just a match, because I don't mind telling the truth, with love, but I don't mind. And as he opened more doors, this was purposeful, to be speaking to Bishop George Davis, saying he has a new CD coming out called Captured by Your Love. And so that concludes who I am in Christ and what I do. And I definitely like what you said about the church and getting the instructions, because initially, the church was where, since we're in Black History Month, is where people went, like the NAACP started their meetings in a church, that was the place where we did unify and come up and strategize and come up and help get out of slavery. It was the church, and you're totally right. And once we continue to do that, to unify and stop worrying, criticizing, then it's going to be good. I believe we're there, because it's nothing else for us to do. This is getting so out of hand. I think we better grab each other's hand and say, okay, yeah, come on, let's go. I don't care what you're doing. Let's just, we'll help you out on the way,
Yeah, I mean, the reality is people are going to be people, so, we'll be headed up in the rapture, and there'll be still somebody bigger.
See?
I think you kind of have to just put your head down and go do what God has called you to do, and pray for those that are not, that they'll have enough vision to see that you can do more in the body of Christ than just come to church and just do quote-unquote religious things. Because you're probably not going to get agreement, and from some of those people, no matter what you do, they're going to still figure out a way to criticize it. So,
well, you know what? And that's why we say we're key players speak. And Bishop George, thank you for being part of the key player family on your album. You have another key player, Miss Gail Holmes, who sings with you with title track, Captured by Your Love. I think that's awesome.
Yeah,
that
Gail
you too.
Phenomenal. She's one of the absolute greatest, not just talents, but she just has such an anointing and a pure heart for God that it was an honor to have her on that track. And when I actually wrote that song for the two of us, I wrote it with her in mind and singing that one along with me. So just a great honor to have Gail on there with me.
Talk about fulfilling a passion, if you will. Just, fulfilling a passion. This was something you wanted to do. You had to then find time and actually just go forth and do it. And sometimes when we are busy, you're married, you have the church, you're kind of busy. Can you help someone find out how to fulfill the passion, how to fulfill it, how to say, finally, I got to put my foot down and get this done?
Well, for me, the biggest thing is what you heard on the message from last week. You got to take time to spend enough time with God and be led by the Holy Spirit. I don't ever want to do anything that when I get to heaven won't be counted as even worth anything, because it wasn't something God intended. So this whole music project was not, me sitting up, dreaming up something. It wasn't me trying to come up with a way
right.
to, bring in additional income. Definitely wasn't me trying to figure out a way to be more famous.
Right, right.
This was me really just sensing God wanted me to record. And it was a dream in my heart as well. So I went for it. When you do that, God always tell you what to do. He'll tell you when to do it. But if you listen long enough, he'll tell you how to do it. And I took enough time and finally got along with God in prayer. I actually went down to Orlando for 3 days and just spent 3 days in prayer. One of the things out of that prayer time was God giving me the instructions on how to do the album, who to call, who to record it with, what music people to work with to help write songs with me. And so I got all of that out of prayer, got a list of songs. I mean, probably 80% of the ones I wrote down actually made it to the album, but it was a start for me. And for most people, that's where you have to do. You have to start where you are, whether it's writing a book or writing a play, writing a movie script, you know, creating an album, starting a business. Kind of start with what you have. And, and sometimes a mountain of what you don't have can become so daunting that it paralyzes you and you just get stuck. And that was how that was really my issue. It wasn't that I didn't have time. Every time I would get started, you know, I would talk to somebody and they'd ask, well, what's the genre going to be? You know, what's your theme of the... And I'd put it on the shelf and then get busy again. By the time I came back to it, it'd be, you know, 6 months, a year later. And so this time I finally just decided I don't have a genre. I'm not trying to make it fit a genre. Mm-hmm. I'm going to record songs, and whatever that turns out to be, it is. So, you know, when you listen to it, it's kind of a very eclectic project.
Yeah, it is.
Mm-hmm. You know, powerful worship on there. Mm-hmm. You got nice, you know, fun, you know, folk guitar, acoustic songs on there. You got the one song on there with Uncle Reese that's, you know, a straight hip-hop.
Yeah, we like Uncle Reese.
Yeah, you got, you know, some auto-tune songs on there, the one Made to Love, and, you know, so some real thematic songs, like the Follywood song I wrote, Let Me Be Their Hero. So there is no one theme or one genre.
Right.
It just kind of stretches across, and I like to say there's something on the album for everybody.
Yeah, it really is. I enjoy the album a great deal, and you answered my second question, so I'll keep going, but I just want to reiterate, the man of God said you have to inquire with God. You have to inquire with the Lord to fulfill your passion, and that is the key way to fulfill your passion in anything you want to do. As he said, write a book, make a CD. You must do that first, and I am a living testimony that when you do that, he absolutely tells you who, what, when, where, and why, and how. He really does. One of the records I truly enjoy, and I always hear either a sound or a prophetic utterance when I listen to music. And when I listen to your CD, for me, for the rest of my days, had a prophetic utterance in it. So just tell me how you came up with that song. It really moved me. It really is something about that song that I just was like, for the rest of my days. So where did that song come about?
I told 10 churches that are under our umbrella churches, and I was actually getting ready to fly out one day to our church in Orlando, and as I was riding in the car, I just started singing that tune. You know, I will praise you for the rest of my days. I will love you for the rest of my days. And so I got back, and once I got going with the album and started writing lyrics to it, and last year I had something, you know, really profound, you know, positive happen in my family, and I just started thinking back, you know, just how far God has brought me. And, how good he's been to me, and that's where the lyrics came. You're looking at the story of my broken life, you were there.
That's right.
You know, woven through all the pages of pain and strife, you know, you were there. You stayed right by my side with every reason to leave. It was your love that made me believe, and that's the reason why I'll praise you for the rest of my days, and I'll serve you for the rest of my days, I'll love you for the rest of my days. And it's really just that personal song to God that, you know, I know no matter how much success I have, no matter how many things go well, you're the one who's been there with me every step of the way. And in good times or bad, I'm committed to you. You know, I'm not just committed to you while things are going well.
That's right.
I'm committed to you, you know, for the rest of my days, for all of my life. It's you and me together forever.
And I often tell people, if eternity was the initial message, what we rushing about? That's just me. And so to hear a song, you praising and worshiping for the rest of my days, to hear that, I'm saying that's absolutely, because that's what we're going to do. Is the end. It's no end, but that's the end of us being here, that we will begin there for the rest of our days. That's where we're going. I guess that's why it just moves me so much, because I guess I'm sensitive in the spirit. I'd be like, oh yes, for the rest of my days, because it's not for me tangible right now. That's where we headed. So I'm super excited for you regarding this project, and it's important to me, like I said, to spread the news about what Christians are doing and their contributions in every area. like you said, sometimes we can put ourselves in the box, but I'm so thankful you took time out to come and speak with me about it. Now, Jesus is the all-sufficient one, and we say we can do all things, but limit ourselves in certain things when it comes to the things of Christ, like going to church, reading our Bibles, being mentored, or having wise counsel. Can you just explain to the people why that's important?
Well, it's important because, number one, that we are called to be a part of the body of Christ. You know, and I firmly believe that when you accept Christ, we can't accept just the head. You accept mm-hmm. Christ, the head, and the body. And he made it very clear through the Apostle Paul that the body of Christ are the other members of the church. So in order to truly accept Christ, we can't just accept the head of who Christ is, Jesus. Mm-hmm. Except the head and the rest of the body as well. And in that, the body's made up of leaders. The body's made up of our fellow brothers and sisters, and we need all of that. We need the accountability. All of us need the support. But we all need the ability to learn and grow. And you don't know how well you're growing in your love walk and in your patience unless you have some people to practice on.
Mm-hmm.
You can't sit at home and be as good a Christian as you can coming to church, because at home you can think you're jamming. You know, you think you've got your love in town. And you get to church and, you know, sit next to somebody that is not on their best behavior that day, or bump into somebody in the hallway that's, you know, being a little rude, and that gives you a chance to really see where your love walk is and where's your long suffering.
Mm.
So, you know, just being connected to a body of believers, you know, allows us to accomplish more together than we can all by ourselves. So it's just really important that we not be disconnected, but truly be fully submitted to Jesus Christ. By being submitted to Jesus Christ, that includes being, you know, attached to and connected to the body of Christ, including a local church. I know there's some people who don't believe that you need to be a part of a local church, but in Ephesians 4:11, Jesus said he gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. He gave them as gifts
mm-hmm.
for the maturing of the church. And if Jesus gave us pastors, then obviously in his mind, every sheep needs to be under the care of a shepherd.
Oh, you said that well.
And
amen.
So, you know, with that, it was his idea. It wasn't, you know, man that jumped up and decided to be pastors. It was Jesus' idea. But I think we do have to be cautious who we submit ourselves to. Everybody who has pastor in front of their name, or bishop or apostle or something else, is not necessarily called to be a pastor.
Mm-hmm.
And you tell the pastor, because pastors have a heart for people.
Right.
They're not going to be perfect, but they have a genuine heart for people. They're not there to manipulate people, but they genuinely want to see people win and succeed. And they're willing to sacrifice themselves to help people grow and develop to do so.
Amen. Amen. Now, besides the CD, Captured by Love, you're also an author of a few books, Passing the Test of Life, and you just released a 21-day devotional that I picked up. Thank you, sir. Talk about the author side of you, bishop, artist, author.
I actually have a total of 4 books.
My
very first book was a little book called Holy Ghost Buoyancy, Bounce Back Ability, the ability to bounce back and recover from difficult circumstances. That one is actually being reprinted now. So that one is a good, encouraging book. Several years ago, called Lord Save Me From Me. That, you know, the devil is not my problem, the world is not my problem. If I can learn to conquer the man in the mirror, then I can gain victory over everything else in my life. And so that one is a really good book. Then I released one with Charisma House a few years ago, when you referred to Passing the Test of Life, which has done extremely well. It's you've been, you know, in Walmart stores and airports and all your major Christian and non-Christian bookstores mm-hmm. carrying that one. Which is really helping a lot of people. It's really a manual on how to be victorious in dealing with the different tests that come our way in life. You know, things like the disappointment test, or the money test, or the test of being misunderstood. How do you get past that and be able to learn how to press forward anyway when people are misunderstanding you? So that's kind of a manual that I call it, your cheat sheet to victory, that'll help you learn how to pass those tests and win in life.
Amen. We need that.
And then last year, the little devotional I wrote is a little 21-day devotional called The Scandal of Grace. It really just takes you through a 21-day journey of really understanding the grace of God.
Mm.
The grace of God is so much more profound than what we've given it credit for. What God did by sending his son Jesus was just the absolute greatest act of love and sacrifice that man could ever know. And, you know, Ephesians 3:19 tells us that, you know, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, which means even when we try to understand God's love, we will never fully be able to comprehend you know, the full depth of his love. He just loves us so much. And that, you know, the grace of God is what displays that love. That, you know, yes, God holds us to a holy standard. He commands us to be holy as he is holy. But there's also, even the way to become holy is through the grace of God.
Yes, sir.
Supernatural impartation of his grace that helps you to shed bad behaviors. But it starts from the foundation of God loves me where I am.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
No matter how holy I get, it's not going to make him love me more.
Right.
No matter how sin-tainted I feel that I am, it's not going to make him love me any less. He commended his love towards me when I was still a sinner. Christ died for me. So kind of embracing that, and that's what the scandal of grace is about. When you embrace that, then that becomes the foundation, the bedrock for who you are. Then it allows you to stand before God with a sense of righteousness. It allows you to just gain the strength and wisdom to shed off any behaviors that you know you need to shed.
That's right.
It allows you to get up every day and be bold and courageous in what God has called you to do.
And we need that right now. What else can we expect from you, Bishop George Davis? I mean, you have the music, the books, your pastoring. Is there anything else in the pipelines?
Well, we have one of the biggest things that I'm called to do is to plant churches.
And okay.
So we have a church in Jacksonville, Florida. Mm-hmm. We have a church in Orlando, one in Miami, Tampa, Tallahassee, Florida, Daytona, Florida. We have a couple churches up the East Coast, one in Norfolk, Virginia, one in Baltimore, Maryland. We have a church in Valdosta, Georgia. And then we have one church that's international in Lima, Peru. And we're getting ready to launch two new churches in the next 60 days.
Wow.
In March, we're starting a church in Houston, Texas, Impact Church of Houston. And then in April, on Resurrection Day, we'll have Impact Church of Savannah, Georgia. So that's the, you know, in the midst of everything else I'm doing with writing books and this music project, that's the one thing that's ongoing. Is that
right.
To plant churches. And we're starting a school here, Impact Christian Academy, which launches this fall here in Jacksonville, Florida. Going to be one of the premier schools in the area, and we're really excited about having a Christian foundation for, you know, for our education right here in Jacksonville.
Amen. You know, I'm always curious because, you know, Impact Church, and obviously the manifestation is true in regards to the calling. How did you come up with the name?
Well, we were Faith Christian Center for 18 years, 17 mm-hmm. and a half years. That's the name the church is founded under, Faith Christian Center.
Okay.
Which is a great name. We love the name.
Faith Christian. No. I'm very sensitive about church names. I don't know why. So when even listening to you saying the initial name was Faith, so Faith moved into Impact. So, you know, that's just me and my stuff over here. But you could continue on how you got to Impact.
Yeah, well, Faith Christian Center was our name, and probably for 5 years or so, we really made a decision that we wanted to be better at touching our community.
Mm.
Didn't feel like we were doing enough outside the four walls. And we had an outreach team that went out. We did projects from time to time. But as a church, we didn't have an identity where everybody understood that we are called to go outside the walls and touch the community.
Amen.
And so we started that about 7 years ago, really being intentional about touching our community. And over time, it just grew to the place to where, you know, our name was Faith Christian Center, but what we were doing was impacting our world.
Mm-hmm.
So it just got in my spirit at the end of 2013 that it was time to change the name of our church to better reflect who we are and what we're called to do, which is impact our community. And so last year we changed it to Impact Church, and it's been wonderfully received, and our people are completely excited, and they're whole, just like Abram to Abraham. Once we change the name, everybody's focused,
mm-hmm.
and the sense of purpose that our people have.
Amen. You know, I always tell people, some people are focused on the miracle at the wedding with Jesus, that he turned water into wine, and the debate is always, can you drink? But I said, you missed the most important part of that story, and it was actually his mother, when she told the servants, do whatever he told you to do. And if we do that, we're going to be all right. Bishop George, thank you so much for coming and chopping it up with me. Tell the people your website and how they can get a hold and stay connected.
Well, they can reach me at georgedavis.org. Georgedavis.org will take them to my website. Also, our church website is IC, JAX.com.
Mm-hmm.
IC as an Impact Church, JAX.com. And if they just want more information on my music project, I can simply go to IamCaptured.com.
Cool.
IamCaptured.com and get information there as well. Find me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We'd love to connect with you.
All right. Well, thank you, Bishop. I really appreciate you. And I hope to come out there and visit you. And I'm sure our circles connect soon.
Yeah, I look forward to it. Have a great day, and thanks again.
All right. You're welcome.